Welcome on into the Wolverine.com podcast. Clayton Safey alongside Chris Ballas and Anthony Broom coming to you on a Thursday. We're going to talk Caleb Love and that whole situation. He is no longer going to be coming to Michigan. We'll talk about what's next there for Michigan basketball. And then we're going to run through some Michigan football fact or fiction premises, and we will choose fact or fiction to a few different notions. I came up with them, and these guys haven't seen them yet. I want to get their reactions on those as well. So make sure if you're watching on YouTube, like the video, subscribe to our channel there. And as always, follow us over at thewolverine.com. $29.99 gets you 6 months of premium access. It means you can be on our message board, interacting with thousands and thousands of Michigan fans, get all of our premium access, articles, updates, all of that. And that will take you into the football season. We are brought to you by My Perfect Franchise. Are you ready to leave the corporate rat race for the American dream? Looking for a side hustle while working your current job? Wanting to diversify, build wealth, and or leave a legacy? Well, Andy can help. Andy is a franchise consultant as well as a franchise owner and helps people find franchises that fit their skill sets, financial requirements, time to commit, and more. His services are 100% free and easier to help if you have any questions about business ownership. So contact Andy Ludeke, www.myperfectfranchise.com. You can see the website up on the screen there for the folks watching on YouTube. Hit him up on the phone, 404-973-9901. Email him, andy@myperfectfranchise.net, and you can book a time with him on his calendar on the website. Just go to, once again, www.myperfectfranchise.net. We are also brought to you by ourselves, the Michigan Football Preview Magazine. We are working hard as we speak. It ships in July. You can get your pre-order now at thewolverineondemand.com. Pre-order at a discount, but we got a bunch of exclusive interviews, all sorts of stuff planned. Those that have been loyal followers of it for years and years know what to expect, but this should be one of the best ones that that I've ever been a part of, considering the expectations for this season, just how many people are anticipating this season. So check us out. TheWolverineOnDemand.com is where you can get your pre-order at a discount. So take advantage before that deal runs out. Let's get into it. Caleb Love, North Carolina transfer, will no longer come to Michigan. This comes after weeks and weeks of, you know, questioning, and well, he's not signed yet. You know, there's no announcement for any of the transfers, but Caleb Love was really the one we were watching. And, you know, it seems like another issue with getting in or admissions or credits and that sort of thing. Extremely, extremely disappointing, I think, for the Michigan fan base, wondering where to go. We'll talk about what's next first, but this Caleb Love situation, obviously, you know, he came out with a tweet a couple weeks ago, I believe it was, saying, yes, I will be playing at Michigan. Stay tuned. But it turns out that maybe something changed, maybe not, but he will not be at the University of Michigan.
Yeah, not all that surprising based on what we'd heard from people on both sides of it, in the administration at Michigan and then at North Carolina. You know, there's a policy in the Big Ten at a lot of schools that they want, you know, you can't have 85% of your credits from one school, get 15% at yours, and then get a degree. So you better be a graduate or, you know, a freshman. That's why we've always said it, you know. And I remember talking to John Beilein about this, Michigan's former coach, and I said, was it understood? And he said, yes, this is not a Michigan-only policy. This is a policy at a lot of schools in the Big Ten, probably some of the better ones, right? And he said, so what we would do is we would run it by admissions first and say, hey, is this guy going to be able to get in? Here's his transcript. And if he couldn't, then they'd stop pursuing him. Even if they wanted to commit, they would not accept their commitment. He'd say, look, we have to wait. We don't want to put it out there that you're committed. And then, you know, go through this whole charade where, okay, now you're not going to be here. We want to know up front. So I think I have an inkling that Michigan had a pretty good idea. But maybe Juwan Howard and his staff were hopeful that, hey, maybe they'll make an exception for him, you know, given the state of the program and things like that. But obviously it didn't work out. And it was pretty clear. We've been hinting to it, guys, if you've been on the message boards for how many weeks now, you know, assuming they all get cleared, assuming they are all here, you know, and I've said many times, you know, somebody asked flat out, what are the odds? I'd like to believe 50-50, but I don't think I believe that. I think it was lower. Now he's not going to be here. wish him all the luck in the world. At the same time, guys, this was a risk either way. This is not supposed to be the savior of the program. You're hopeful that he could recapture the form that he had a couple of years ago when he led North Carolina to the NCAA championship game, but there were no guarantees that he wouldn't just be another Jet Howard out there, you know, and going through the motions and not playing any defense and jacking up bad shots. So they're in a spot right now. They've got to go out and they got to get Olivier Kamwa out of Tennessee. They got to get another guard. God, guys, they need another guard. Otherwise, you're relying on George Washington III and another guard along with Doug McDaniel. And it's going to be tough. I don't think they're going to get Ray J. Dennis out of Toledo either. I think that's going to be an NIL situation where kind of similar to Hunter Dickinson's. So right now it looks bleak, but as we've seen, guys, a million times, things can change on a dime. I'm hoping that's the case for Michigan basketball. They need a little bit of help.
I mean, I tried the initial reaction, if that's what we're going to here, is you grab the nearest pillow and you scream the first four-letter word that comes to your brain into it, because that's just kind of been what Michigan's transfer portal exploits over the last 2 years have kind of been. You know, Terrence Shannon was a guy that we felt like they should have landed, and some hurdles didn't allow that to happen, though that was maybe more on the Texas Tech end of things. But it's so frustrating, especially because they do have such a hole to climb themselves out of. And in a lot of ways, it's self-created. You know, to me, it's just the thing I keep coming back to, and have been, my brain's been all over the place on this, dating back to when we started hearing some of these rumors, is that everything about Michigan men's basketball right now feels disorganized. You know, it doesn't, you know, admissions, you shake your fist to the sky at that. But again, that's something that we know is going to be an issue at this point. So you'd think before you take a guy's commitment or before a guy puts something out there that you vet everything, that you make sure that something like this doesn't happen, because guess what? It's pretty embarrassing when it does. It's, you know, I can't say it's embarrassing for Caleb Love or, you know, I don't know. It's just, you know, something about his courtship and commitment coming together as fast as it did always kind of felt a little weird. And, you know, almost a month and a half went by without getting an update on it other than him quelling some of those rumors on social media a few weeks ago. But this roster sorely lacks a guy that you can put the ball in his hands with the game on the line. And, you know, Caleb Love would have been that type of guy. You know, obviously he can win you a game with his offense or shoot you out of a game. We've talked about that a lot, but you know, at this point, when it comes to Michigan, the University of Michigan in the transfer portal, their sweet spot, and football's done a great job with this over the last year, year and a half, 2 years, whatever it is your sweet spot is going to be freshmen and grad students. And it's not fair. It's more consequential in basketball when one guy can make a difference. You know, Michigan football has obviously been winning at a higher clip too, and that helps satiate some of those, you know, those needs, and that's the sell. I don't know what the sell is right now, and I don't know, you know, there's not enough support for NIL with basketball. The academic restrictions are what they are. I got to be honest, I don't know how you compete in that environment right now, and if I'm Juwan Howard, you know, some of this maybe falls on me and my staff a little bit, just in terms of the organization part. But above all else, I'm throwing my hands up in the air and going, I don't know what the hell I'm supposed to do to make this roster better, because I recruit guys that I develop enough to send to the NBA. I can't get the transfers I want via the portal. And even when I do have the talent that I wanted over the last 2 years, they've barely, you know, been a team that's over 500. So I don't know what the solution is, but yeah, if you feel like things are bleak right now, I totally understand.
Yeah, and then when you have an upperclassman who's been extremely successful, he leaves, you know, due to lack of NIL money. And it's not, to me, looking at this roster now, it's not just a guy with the ball in his hands when the game is on the line. It's a guy with the ball in his hands at any point during the game. I mean, is there a guy who's going to be your high-usage player right now that's on the roster? I think they're all pretty solid complementary pieces. You look at Namari Burnett, he's never been that guy. Doug McDaniel, I think, maybe isn't quite ready to be the featured, you know, player who's creating, or maybe has the ball in his hands the amount that Xavier Simpson did, for example, especially when he was an upperclassman. George Washington. I mean, it's kind of a crapshoot to project exactly what freshmen are going to be. We've seen some five stars come in here and take quite a while to develop and get acclimated to the college game. We've seen even transfers come in and take a while to acclimate. Devontae Jones, Jalen Llewellyn hadn't quite figured it out to that level yet. So this is a big blow in that regard. Now, Ray J. Dennis, probably a long shot. But there are other guards out there, and they have to do something. You're right, CB. They got three scholarship spots available. But my thing with the transfer thing, at what point, and I know this could take time and there are layers to peel back there, but at what point do you change with the times? We've even seen Stanford, loosen up the restrictions. They only had one transfer on their entire team last year. They picked up four this offseason, a lot of them from highly regarded academic institutions, but they did talk about loosening some of those restrictions. Colorado, I don't think you have to go to quite this degree, but Colorado, when I was reading about that job when it opened, because Sharon Moore was appearing on some of those lists, this is on the football side, obviously, one of the things was, well, they can't get transfers in. Look at them now with Deion Sanders. So there are programs and universities out there changing with the times. Santa Ono's only been in charge here since mid-October. But to me, I think you got to change with the times. And I'm not saying that necessarily it would have fixed each of these situations, but two straight off seasons, the Terrence Shannon one stings a little bit more, but two straight off seasons, this has happened really three times during the Juwan Howard era with Nojel Eastern. Not sure that would have been a great pickup anyway, but apparently they wanted him. So at what point do you change with the times with this? And obviously,
well, a lot of that. Yeah, they're not going to change where to the point where, okay, if you know you're doing 10%, if you take two classes at Michigan, you're getting a Michigan degree, and I don't think they should. You know what? I'm sorry. There are a lot of schools still aren't doing that. I bet Stanford isn't either when it comes to that. You know what? A good school isn't going to say, okay, well, you know what? You took 95% of your classes somewhere else and 5% at Michigan. Here's your Michigan degree. It just doesn't work that way. So to me, that's an issue that's not going to change. But for example, a couple of years ago, Austin Reeves wanted to transfer to Michigan it was 4 or 5 years ago now, out of Wichita State. And, you know, Michigan vetted him. He was a 2-year guy, I believe, there at Wichita State before he transferred to Oklahoma. And admissions said no. I don't know why. Maybe he took a bunch of classes that were, you know what, that none of them would have transferred to Michigan, which, again, is understandable. And the kid's probably not going to come here if he's, you know, took 2 years of classes and none of them are transferring. He wants to work towards a degree. So I think each case is different, but you know what? And then he ends up, he's with the Lakers now, you know, so he was a great talent. So yes, loosening restrictions is one thing. The Terrence Shannon thing, again, was a lot more about Texas Tech than it was about Michigan. So I can't blame Michigan admissions for all of it. And you've got to know who's recruitable and who's not beforehand, before you go after some of these kids, and not just say, well, we're going to try anyway, even though he's not going to get in. You've got to have a better plan than that. And with guys like Reeves, obviously you take a chance and you say, okay, you know what, admissions, what's it look like? And they're the ones that are paid to make those decisions for you, basically. So I do think you'll see some loosening of restrictions. I don't think it's going to matter a ton. And it will be interesting. We are going to research it, guys, this summer to see what kind of the admissions is at Michigan compared to some of the other schools in the Big Ten. Because again, talking to Beilein, he said it's not that different at a lot of schools. And he said, yeah, I was fine with it. He didn't really have an issue with it. So does that mean Juwan Howard shouldn't? No. But again, it's, you know, they're not going to go through wholesale changes where a kid gets a Michigan degree for taking 5% of his classes at Michigan.
Well, I think just real quick, the biggest frustration to me, if you're a Michigan fan, is you go and see Terrence Shannon, then go play for another school in your conference. Caleb Love's right. Going to get in somewhere next year. So it's kind of like, well, you know, why are we so much different? I guess would be the counter argument. And even with Caleb Love, he's back on the open market now. Indiana and Illinois are right back in the mix for him. You could see him in the Big Ten next year. And I think that would make Juwan Howard for a second straight year probably shake his head.
Probably. And if that's what they want to do, then so be it. But you know what, for an institution that prides itself on academics, and I'm not saying, you know, all better, so much better than you type of thing. But to me, I don't see that as something that they should do. If Indiana and Illinois want to do it, great. With Terrence Shannon, I think, yeah, something there that it seems like something should have been worked out there, right? And I think even Hunter Dickinson with his $70,000 in NIL money was saying, hey, I'll pay for his classes or whatever. you know, so on and so forth, if Texas Tech isn't going to honor it. I don't know the exact details on that one, but I do know that, you know what, Michigan holds itself to a higher standard. Should it be loosened up? Should restrictions be loosened up a little bit? Yes. Can Santa Ono do that by himself? No. I think that he would need support from the Board of Regents and stuff like that to do it too. And we'll talk to some people and see exactly what the situation is and was at Michigan compared to other schools, just so we have a better handle on it.
Yeah, and I think when it all comes full circle and you look at this from what it means for roster building, the last few years, I mean, they've recruited fairly well. I mean, Caleb Houston, Musa Diabate wound up being NBA guys, regardless of how people felt about them at the time. Jet Howard and Kobe Bufkin, those guys are going to the NBA. Hunter Dickinson, you know, not going to the NBA, but apparently bigger and better things than Michigan, just based on everything we know about his new situation. You know, you're gonna have to figure out this transfer portal thing and who your guys are and who you can go after and who, you know, what sort of hurdles have to be cleared instead of just taking guys and saying we'll figure it out later, because figuring it out later isn't, you know, that's not gonna work for them either. You know, something that makes it a concern moving forward is that, okay, maybe you whiff on a couple transfer portal guys here and there, but you've got this strong foundation of guys that you've recruited. And, you know, no disrespect to George Washington or in 2024, Darrell Brooks and Christian Anderson, but, you know, they're not recruiting as well as they did earlier in the Juwan Howard era. So both in the short and long term of what this roster looks like moving forward, if you're only limited to taking X amount of guys from the portal and you're just not recruiting the guys that you'd like to recruit, these top 40, top 50 guys, I don't know what the road ahead is. I really don't. And I think if Caleb Love would have been able to get in, you could maybe make the argument that I can't say with confidence they would have been better than this last season, but I think you could make the argument that they could put a competitive basketball team on the floor, and maybe they still can. But right now you've got a team full of question marks and career role players. And I don't know if that's, unless someone comes out of nowhere and pops, which is always possible. I don't know. I just don't feel great about this program heading into next season. I really don't.
Yeah. And the tough part is too, cause we said right at the end of last season is, you know, it was kind of going to want to, you know, be one of those situations where, all right, everyone's got to look themselves in the mirror. And even Will Cheddar, when I was talking to him, said the same thing. You know, we got to reset the culture, all this stuff. We got to get back to our habits. Well, they got to field a roster. You know, they got to figure out who's going to be on this team. And it might not be your first choice, your second choice, your third choice. You know, you might just have to get guys that can come in, and then it's kind of a gamble. So that's kind of where things are at in the college game as a whole. But I think Michigan's suffering from it more than a lot with all the attrition they've had over the last couple of years, probably some unexpected, you know, including to the NBA. And then you got a guy going to Kansas as well in his version of the NBA, essentially, to cash in. But we'll continue to track all that over at thewolverine.com. And we will move now to football. I got some fact or fictions for us, and we can rotate around who goes first. So we'll start with Mr. Chris Ballas. You can start on this one. But Blake Corum coming back healthy, you know, potentially play more games than he did a year ago. Blake Corum, fact or fiction, will rush for either more yards or more touchdowns than he did last season. So one or the other or both. 1,463 yards was his total there. 18 touchdowns. Will he surpass one of those numbers?
That's a great question, right? Because Donovan Edwards is going to get more carries, supposedly, or you're going to get him on the field as a receiver a little bit more and get him some touches that way. Boy, that's a great question. But I am going to go with fact, because I think he's going to have some really big games. And I think that, you know what, they want him to have, I love it. Nice. Look at you, Clay. I really believe that, you know what, he came back and you want to reward a guy like that, you know, with the potential for a Heisman Trophy. And I think he will get every opportunity to do that. And I think Donovan Edwards will get more carries, but I think Blake Corum will up his game to the point that, yes, he is going to eclipse that. And I do think that he will be, assuming he stays healthy, one of the five guys invited to New York for the Heisman Trophy ceremony.
Clay, can you just run down what the numbers were again?
Yeah, 1,463 rushing yards, and 18 touchdowns.
I'm going to go fiction on that just because, and not because I don't think he's going to be healthy and because he's, you know, I think he's going to be every bit the guy that he was. But I also think that Michigan's going to be a little more careful about his workload and work Donovan Edwards a little bit more. Assuming both stay healthy. There are times when Blake has had to carry more of the load because Donovan hasn't been healthy out there. So assuming good health, I'm going to say fiction, but not off by much. I just think that those guys are going to have pretty spread out production. I think it will probably be pretty equal production, honestly. So I'm going to say fiction, but just barely. So,
okay. Either or, right? Did you say either more than 14?
Just one of them.
Or more? Yeah, because I do think he'll be the short yardage back down there. I don't think they're going to be handing off to Khalil Mullings much at the goal line. I think it's going to be Blake Corum when he gets the ball down there with those huge thighs. So I'm going to take the chance that it's going to be one of those two he's going to eclipse.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to go fact on this. And I think 18 might be harder to attain, even though he will be that short yardage guy, no doubt, than the yards. I think he can get the yards, you know, with more games. And, you know, he played in 12 games last year, but one of those was the Ohio State game. So I'm going to go with fact, probably on the yards, but I get it either way, right? If we happen to revisit this after the season. And then the second one, let's talk about Donovan Edwards, a little bit more offense focus. We can revisit some on defense later on in the summer as we get to the doldrums here. But Donovan Edwards will break Michigan's single season record for receptions by a running back, set by Chris Perry, who had 44 catches in 2003. So if they play 14 games again, they could play 13. They could play 12. I wouldn't assume that happens. They miss a bowl game. Or they could play 15. But if it is 14 like it has been the last two seasons, that'd be just over 3 receptions a game. So let's start with Anthony on this one.
I'm going to go fact. 44 is not a lot. I could see him somewhere in that 50 or 60 range. I think that three or four catches a game probably seems about right for him. Again, they're going to want to mix him in as a running back, obviously, as well. We've talked about how maybe there's a little bit of potential there where you can use him in that kind of Deebo Samuel type of role. But I think 44 catches, assuming he stays healthy, I mean, there could be a couple games where he has 7, 8, 9 catches, depending on what defenses are giving Michigan, especially if these teams are trying to take away the deep ball again, and you've got all this space to work underneath. So I'm going fact with that.
You know, I'm going to go fiction, and I'd love to see it be fact, but you know, I want to see him on the field at the same time with Blake Corum. I want to see him in the slot. You know, Mike Hart said he could probably line up at slot receiver at many of the programs in this country and start. And I think he should. Do I think he will? I've got to see it. You know, because I think you've got a head coach who's kind of set in his ways, right? And we've seen that. I do think he'll get his touches, and I think you'll see him get some more touches at running back as well. But, that is kind of a lot of catches for a running back. And I remember, I think it was Chris Howard, too, back in 1997, had quite a few. Might have even been Michigan's leading receiver back then in terms of catches. So, and it wasn't that many, obviously. So, we'll see, but I'm going to go with fiction. Go less than. Can I? I'm not supposed to say the under on this show. So
no, you can't.
Okay. However, I do think I think he'll be in the 30 something range, but they better get in the ball, guys. They have to.
Yeah, I'm going to go fiction on this one too. It does, when you look at the number, like, okay, just get him 3-4 a game. You know, maybe one game at 7. It's just hard to do. I was looking at the Big Ten numbers from last year. Only one Big Ten running back had anywhere near this, 55 from Evan Hull from Northwestern, but they had absolutely no one on their offense. I think Michigan has enough options to go to, including with the tight ends, including with even Blake Corum on some screen passes. But I think, you know, bulk of the running back receptions will come from Dono. But I'm just going to say, like, it's just hard to do. And looking at the record book, there are a few guys in the 30s. I think top 10 would even be like 29. I was looking at it earlier this morning. So he's easily, I think, if he stays healthy, going to get in that top 10, maybe even top 5. I think he needs to get to 35 to get there. But just 44, however the math is going to play out, I just don't see it happening. I think it absolutely could, but I would guess that it does not. I guess I will start on this next one. Fact or fiction, Michigan will have three or more regular season games that are either a loss or are decided by single digits this season. So they had two last season, Illinois and Maryland. They had four in 2021, including a loss to Michigan State. I'm going to go with fact that they will have three or more. I could see them losing a regular season game. You look at Ohio State, Penn State probably is the most likely there. And then those same ones could be within single digits. And I think I said it on the show maybe a couple weeks ago, but when I look at that Nebraska-Minnesota stretch, I just have a feeling, guys, that one of those games is going to be close. And you never know with, I mean, even the Maryland game. Yeah, they scored a garbage, you know, time touchdown late, but the score ended up in single digits. So I'm going to go with fact that there will be three or more regular season games that are either a loss or decided by single digits.
It's hilarious. If you would ask this question last year, what would the two teams be that were within a score of Michigan? And you said Illinois and Maryland, that would have been crazy. But you know what? That's college football. And that's why you can't take anything for granted. So, man, this is a great question. You know what? I am going to go fact as well. I think Penn State is a loss. Maybe at this point I have the right to change my mind, but you know what? It is so hard to go through a season undefeated. And if you had to pick one loss on the schedule going in, Ohio State could possibly be up there, but I would think it's going to be a road game. I think about five of the last seven on the road, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right? 1, 2, 3, 4, something like that. So Nebraska, you know, they should win that game, but we were there a couple of years ago, guys, when that place is crazy. I was just talking to a Nebraska reporter today, and I said, best environment for college football I've ever been in for a night game. It was absolutely nuts. And we've seen how that can play, you know, emotions can play factors in games. So we'll see what happens, but I'm going to go with you, Clay. I agree with that. And it's just win. I don't care about style points. You know what? Hopefully only one of those three is a loss, if that.
Disrespectful to the Rutgers night game atmosphere, I have to say.
When everybody,
it's a literal circus, a literal carnival.
It is.
I'll say fact as well. Now, is this just regular season?
This is just regular season. Yep, just the 12 games there.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. I'll go with that in the regular season. You know, you've got the rivalry games that you have. You've got a road game at Penn State. There's always the, you know, I always call them the oh shit games, right? There's always at least one of those. So, yeah, I'll go fact on that one. I think Ohio State's going to give them a battle for four quarters this year. I do think Michigan will win, but I think that one's going to be a little bit more of a barn burner than the last 2 years.
Yeah, I agree with that. If they win three in a row against an Ohio State team that's been this good by double digits or even, you know, 15 and 20 plus, I mean, that would be absolutely incredible. I do have a gut feeling as well that that game is going to be close. I would give Michigan an edge, but I mean, just, you know, I don't know what you want to call the law of averages or whatever. I think, it would kind of even out there, but we shall see. And, you know, if Michigan scores late, then one of those is double digits or whatever. But, okay. We're going back to Chris on this one. Fact or fiction, and we do have two more. Average margin of victory for Michigan in the non-conference play last season was 49.7 points. Fact or fiction, Michigan will once again win by an average of 45 points or more against non-conference foes East Carolina, UNLV, and Bowling Green.
Wow.
So a little bit of leeway there. Last year was almost 50, but this is just 45 you need to get to.
Just 45. Yeah. I'll say fiction. I think it'll probably be close to 40. You know, you know what? It's semantics here. They're going to be blowouts, but there have been games that, you know, where the score didn't reflect how much you blew a team out. You know, they could win games 38-7 with, you know, 700 yards of offense to 150 or something like that. And, you know, just run the score and, you know, run the clock. And, especially with the shortened games now, right? It's going to be a little bit shortened. They aren't stopping on first downs. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of an effect that has on scores around the country.
Yeah. Or what kind of effect that's going to have on Michigan's 2 minute offense, I guess under 2 minutes, it's
right.
It'll still stop, right. But even, you know, you're at the 3 minute people are going to get a little antsy in the big house, I think.
Right. Yeah. You know, and in the past, you know, they're running, you know, a couple games last year, what, 28 first downs or something like that. And the clock's stopping. Now the clock's not stopping anymore. When you pick up third and two and ran the ball down somebody's throat, it's going to keep running. So I think it'll be shorter games for Michigan. And that's probably going to be running one of the reasons why I'm going to go fiction.
I'm going to go fiction as well. I think last year, like, again, I'm not going to do the whole non-conference schedule, you know, bit that the entire nation does, but that was probably historically bad in terms of, I think they played like three of the bottom eight teams in all of college football. I think this is a little bit more competently set of a schedule. I say little, but again, you know, that was a team that, there was kind of a lot of juice for the non-conference, given that there was still a quarterback battle that went into the season. There was still, you know, there were a lot of guys that were working into new roles, you know, that didn't get much playing time in 2021. I think this will be a little more low key. You know, I think of seeing UNLV on the schedule reminds me of I think it was 2015 in Jim Harbaugh's first year. UNLV was coached by like a former high school coach or something.
Yeah.
And Michigan was supposed to just wipe the floor with them. And it was like 28-3 or 28-7, whatever it was. Wouldn't be surprised to see a non-conference game like that. So, you know, won't panic if they don't win every game by 40 points. But, you know, I'll go fiction on that. Just a little bit of respect for a MAC team on the schedule this year as well.
You know who you didn't respect, though, is UConn. They made a bowl game last year, man. Come on.
Well,
but
they're an afterthought.
No, I'm actually going to go fact on this one because – you know, kind of looking at some of these teams, and I'm about to be writing these opponent previews for our magazine, so we'll do a little bit more research as time goes on here. But these are pretty bad teams. These are not very good teams coming in. East Carolina, I think they made a bowl game last year. They had a pretty good offense, but they lost a lot. And then the other two are not very good, and no disrespect to Scott Leffler, the head coach of Bowling Green, former Michigan player. But I don't know. I think I'll go over on the 45. Okay, our last one, Anthony, we'll get the nod here. Fact or fiction, and in CB, you talked about some of these road games. I did want to talk about these. Fact or fiction, Michigan will trail in the second half of one of the following games: at Nebraska, at Minnesota, at Michigan State.
Fiction. I'm going fiction. I think though, there's a chance a few of those could be close, closer than we expect them to. But I don't see a way that Michigan State leads Michigan in the second half. Minnesota, I could maybe see it just because, you know, play a similar style of just kind of, they want to smash, you know, smash with the run game and things like that. Nebraska is kind of the wild card here, but you know, gut feeling being what it is, I'll say that they do not, but they are in competitive games and maybe quote unquote struggle to pull away.
Yeah. And I agree with that fiction. I'm going to go with, because these just aren't very good football teams right now. And of course, Rutgers, you know what, you remember last year they were trailing at Rutgers and, you know, when they came out in the second half and absolutely destroyed them. So you can get something flukish like that where you sleepwalk through a first half and a couple bounces don't go your way. And then, you know, you blow them out. But I'm going to say that it's not going to happen this year against one of those three teams. I think Michigan rolls all of them eventually. I think Nebraska, you know what, with that environment, I think Michigan will put them away in the second half, but I think they'll be comfortably ahead for most of the game.
Yeah, I had this written down as a fact, but you guys are kind of convincing me a little bit there. but I'll stick with it. I'll just say it's probably one of those two, at Nebraska, at Minnesota. Again, as I said earlier, I think one of them will be close, and I was thinking of that Rutgers game as kind of an example, and I know Rutgers is worse than probably at least Minnesota will be this coming season, but which maybe even lends a little bit more credence to that theory, but I'll say that one of them maybe has a halftime lead or something like that, but wouldn't be reason to panic with the way that Michigan, I mean, I don't even remember the exact stats in the second half because it kind of got thrown out the window a little bit in the TCU game, but the way they dominated those second halves and especially third quarters, it was pretty impressive. And I think with, you know, similar coaching staff, they should have that opportunity again. But okay, that's fact or fiction. We'll get back to some of those maybe in a few weeks and come up with some different ones, talk a little bit more about the defense. But that is going to be our show for today. Remember, if you're watching us on YouTube, hit that like button, the thumbs up. on our video there. Hit the subscribe button on our channel. Visit us at thewolverine.com. $29.99 gets you premium access for 6 months. That's 70% savings. And order our 2023 Michigan Football Preview magazine at thewolverineondemand.com. You can pre-order now at a discount, so take advantage, and we will see everyone next time.